Customs and Border Protection has brought a new service to Washington Dulles International Airport, IAD. Passengers can expect speedier trips through customs inspection thanks to kiosks. John Wagner is the Acting Assistant Commissioner of the Office of Field Operations at CBP. He joins me now with more on the program resulting in this kiosk installation. Mr. Wagner, great to have you on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right, so tell us about the program behind the kiosks, and is Dulles the first place to get them?
So this is called the Automated Passport Control Kiosk. It's a service we launched about a year and a half ago. Dulles is actually the 25th airport in the country to install these kiosks. And it's a unique partnership we developed with the airport authorities and the airlines to develop and build and implement these self-service kiosks that help passengers clear through their Customs and Border Protection processing when they arrive back from an international trip.
And are they at BWI?
We have global entry at BWI. We do not have automated passport control just yet.
All right,
so another kiosk program that we have.
Okay, so people are going to more and more kiosks. These kiosks, passport control, what do they do? How do they work?
So how they work is when you come off the plane, you go to a kiosk and it reads your passport. You no longer fill out the paper customs declaration on the form, so you answer your declaration questions at the touch screen. It sends that data to CBP. If you're a non-U.S. citizen and you're eligible to use the kiosk, it reads your fingerprints and it compares with the prints we've taken at a previous encounter. And then if there's no reason for us to see that we'd need to inspect you further at this point, it would print out a receipt with your photograph on it, and you would present that to a CBP officer for an interview about your travel itinerary and any articles you're bringing back into the United States, and then you're done from there.
And so what is the throughput of these relative to what it was when you had people, when you had to go up to that little booth and talk to somebody?
So we're currently doing about 40 to 50% of all of the arriving passengers at Dulles, and that's pretty consistent nationwide. So at Dulles, you're looking at, we do about 7,000 people a day, so it's about half of that using these kiosks.
And what's involved in getting them installed? Because, you know, I think of concrete floors covered with tile in airports, and yet these must be wired in somehow. What does it take infrastructure-wise to get them mounted and connected?
So we've published the IT requirements on how to build them, and then the airport authority or the airline is free to choose their own vendor on who to develop and the hardware and the software and the mechanics of making it work and build the actual kiosks. And then it's a matter of installing them in the arrivals area and running the connection into the network to be able to transfer the data back and forth between CBP and the kiosk.
So in your experience, do they have to pass muster with the federal government, the kiosks, and who supplies, is the software all uniform on them?
So Customs and Border Protection has published the specifications and the requirements as part of our technical design standards for the airports. So any company that can choose to build them and provide them for the airport or the airline, and then we'll certify that it meets the certifications that we've published.
But in terms of software, what you see on the screen, if I go to, I don't know where else they are, suppose I go into Dulles one week and I go into Dallas-Fort Worth or LAX the next week, would I see the same interface, even though it might be on a different-looking refrigerator?
It's very similar. It's like an ATM machine where they all do the same type of transaction. It's the same type of information, but the function and format may be slightly different. But what it will do, it'll read your passport. It will ask you for your customs declaration information. It will present your flight information to you for you to confirm. It'll take your photograph. So that all happens. Those are all the required data requirements for the process.
We're speaking with John Wagner. He's Acting Assistant Commissioner in the Office of Field Operations at Customs and Border Protection. And the database against which someone's information is compared, their fingerprint and who they are and so forth, their passport, how are they distributed? In other words, do these kiosks telecommunicate with a distant database that everyone is hitting, or does this exist locally at each of the airports?
No, it connects with our central CBP database. So there's no data stored by the airport. There's no data stored on the kiosk. It's merely a pass-through to our database, the same as if an officer in one of the booths had queried your passport. It'll run against our same centralized repository of information.
Now, when you do land, you have to go through immigration and then through customs and border protection. Are they also kiosking so that you can get two kiosks instead of one person in one kiosk?
Well, this encompasses the entire process through immigration and through the customs processing. So what you'll do is go to the kiosk and then pick up your checked bags after you've seen the CBP officer, and then you go through an exit point just to confirm that you don't have any other inspections you have to comply with. But it does encompass the entire process through the arrivals.
So it really saves a stop along the way.
Absolutely.
From the airplane to the taxi cab.
Absolutely. We've seen the wait times, and that's the time people spend waiting in line, be reduced by 30 to 40% at all of the locations we've been able to implement these. Because what it does part of the administrative work of what the officer does in the booth, but the traveler now does that instead of waiting in line. So the interaction with the CBP officer is shortened from about a minute to about 15 to 20 seconds. So it's more efficient, and it's a better use of our time and a smarter use of our time, too, because we can focus on the work that we want to be doing and need to be doing rather than doing some of the administrative work.
And so has this resulted in a requirement to reduce staff, or is staff redeployed to do other things? I guess you've answered that. What else can they do?
This helps us really close the gap in some of the staffing shortfalls that we have. And this mitigates the need for additional staff at these locations. But it does not replace any staff, and it really just helps us catch up with the ever-increasing volumes of international visitors, which is a really good thing for the country and a really good thing for us as well.
So that means you could get out, get off the plane, get your baggage, get checked through, and nobody from the U.S. of A. says, welcome back to the U.S. of A.
With these kiosks, you'll still see the officer for a brief interview about your itinerary. Our other program, Global Entry, which involves some pre-vetting and pre-adjudication of the person, that would be true where you'd use the kiosk and be cleared automatically.
But the officer's not live on a screen, is he?
No, you would queue up before an officer at a podium that you would see.
All right, so sounds like success with 25 airports. What are the plans? How many more do you have to go?
So we've got a handful more in the pipeline that we're working. We're at most of the major international airports now. So we have a couple more airports that will be coming online in the next 4 to 6 months. We're also building a mobile version of the kiosk where you can download an app to your smartphone, and you'll be able to do the same transaction done at the kiosk but do it on your smartphone. So we're piloting it in Atlanta right now, and we intend to expand to a couple more airports early next calendar year. But rather than going to a kiosk, you can do the same thing on your phone, transmit the data to CBP, and we'll send back some type of coded response to your phone that you'll present to us upon arrival, and we'll clear you from there.
And what is the effect on airport real estate of these programs? Because, you know, how much has been jammed into airports ever since 9/11?
Correct. We need to look at how we design the airports and the layouts. Now that we have a couple of different kiosk programs, and we're looking at people using their phones, and as we move into mobile technology for the government end of the processing, it's time to sit down and really look at the design of the airports and the traffic flows and how people flow through that process. We'll probably be working on that early next year as well, too.
And what about the international component of this? Does Customs and Border Protection work with other countries in designing systems that might look compatible to people going in both directions?
Yes, we've seen a lot of countries around the world build similar type kiosks and self-service programs. So we did a good study of what was already out there and really enhanced it to meet the security needs of the U.S. and really being able to help benefit the efficiency of what we're doing and the security of what we're doing.
And in terms of compliance with the laws that are expressed through these kiosks that were handled by people before, any evidence yet on whether compliance and, you know, there's less contraband or that kind of thing coming in, or plants and animals that you're not supposed to have, more or less, can you tell yet?
It's tough to say what the actual numbers will be, but what we're seeing is the officers are better able to concentrate and focus on the traveler in the interview and the security requirements and how we question people. So it enhances our security requirements and our enforcement posture by being able to do this and not being focused on some of the administrative tasks of reading the passport and making sure the paperwork's filled out completely.
And one time I found a tin the size of a quart-sized tin full of paprika, and it had no English on it. It was going around and around on a bin, on a luggage bin. We took it home and never used the stuff. What should we have done with it?
You should have turned that into one of our officers or one of our agriculture specialists in uniform there at the airport of entry.
I mean, it looked like a lot of paprika, but I was kind of afraid to use it since I had no idea of its origin. Well, next time I'll do that. John Wagner is Acting Assistant Commissioner of the Office of Field Operations at Customs and Border Protection. Thanks so much for that update.
Great. Thank you for having me on this morning.